Howdy, folks. Welcome to the July 20th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm Uncle Bill. Hi.
Hi, Uncle Bill. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
You doing right?
I was snorting a sock full of gold spray paint a minute ago, so I'm pretty good now.
Whoa! Made me feel like Superman.
I saw the ghost of Morton Downey Jr. floating around the room, so it must be a...
Morton Downey Jr.
It's a good sign that it's working.
He's dead?
Yeah.
Well, he died.
He died a long time ago.
Well, fuck him. I remember my favorite moment with Morton Downey Jr. is when he was at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, a lot of people say that skit's awful, but I actually enjoyed that.
Awful? I loved it, dude. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did too.
So, yeah, it's another week with Dead Pit, and there's nothing going on. Again. Like, I was trying my best to scour the internet to find the latest news and horror releases and stuff like that, and it's just not there, Uncle Bill. I mean, we got like one page full of just, you know, either DVD releases or, you know, that's about it, really.
Luckily, we're talking about Batman films. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have jack shit to talk about throughout this whole thing. You do realize that.
That's true. And we may, you know, here's the thing about the Batman thing, okay? Neither one of us are experts at all on comic book shit.
No, we're just talking about the movies. Fuck the comic books. Like, we don't have time to go into all that.
Or even the movies. I mean, I've seen, like, most of the movies I've seen, aside from maybe the first one and the second one, once or twice, and I've never watched them again. So, we're going to be talking, just giving our basic thoughts on the movies. And nothing else, because The Dark Knight Rises is coming out this weekend, and I want to make a bold prediction here, and I know it's, you know, odds are it probably won't come true, but for some reason I just see this movie being the movie of the summer. I think it'll even break the Avengers record.
I think so, too. There's no doubt about it in my mind. This
it's going to be huge.
This will be one of the biggest movies ever, bro, if not the biggest.
Because it is I think I heard it was the closing chapter in the Christopher Nolan Batman, and they're going to start it over again, which that's always, that seems to be how they go about it now.
God. So, like the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, which actually did end up making quite a bit of money, too.
Well, you know it did. I mean, they could put anything out there, but it's like, how do you start a whole series over that only ended a couple years ago? It's like,
yeah, that does seem weird, but yeah, it got a lot of mixed reactions, too. I mean, some people really loved it, and some people thought it was awful, so who knows?
This is awful.
It's a shitty.
We do have an actual Blu-ray review, though. I know that.
We do have. We're going to be taking a look at the latest in the 42nd Street Forever line. This is the 42nd Street Forever Blu-ray edition. And believe me, they definitely took advantage of the space capabilities on the Blu-ray, didn't they, Uncle Bill?
Somebody just got murdered outside, I think.
Somebody did. It's probably a leftover firework.
You think?
Probably.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
I'll get down.
Somebody's loose with a fucking weapon, boy.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the threat of getting shot kind of jarred out of my memory. But
that's true.
Let's make...
Real-life horror, folks.
Let's make no... are we reviewing anything else, or is that the only review we got, the Blu-ray?
Did you review anything else?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Let's make
we
no
really
doubts.
Need to get back on the ball with the reviews.
There
Uncle
ain't
Bill.
Nothing to fucking review. Yeah, that's is. The thing, though. There's really not. Like,
I was actually trying to watch this movie called Monster Brawl the other night, and I was like, well, that could be another one to review. Goddamn. Like, I think somebody called into the show and mentioned that. Like, at what point does that movie get fucking good, is what I'm wanting to know. Because this was a movie that it's not a movie, really. It doesn't have a plot or anything. It's basically like a fucking pay-per-view. But with monsters in it and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I haven't watched it or anything, but it looks shitty enough, and I don't think it's really even a movie.
It has Kevin Nash in it and fucking...
Yeah. That's a death curse.
Speaking of which, too, Frankenstein in it is played by Kurgan.
Hell yeah. The Truth Commission's finally back.
I was like, goddamn. Evidently, Kurgan, or the guy that played Kurgan, is like... He has been in some movies, actually. He's been in some really mainstream shit, too.
But I was going to say, though, like, let's not kid ourselves around right now. This is a probably one of the leanest times in the genre that I can remember. And all the people hanging around at this point are the actual, like,
definitely
real
fucking Roman Candle or something.
Yeah, they're the real diehard horror fans, because everybody else, I would say within the next probably 6 months, will be gone. Like, it's one of those things where you knew, like, during the end of WWE, or I guess it was WWF and all that stuff, when stuff started really go, you know, downhill with it around about 2003, something like that. Like, you could see it happen, really.
Yeah, but a lot of people would argue that, and people still argue this. I mean, and the truth is, honestly, if you look hard enough, you probably will find some good shit. The problem is, there's not enough people out there telling you, hey, you might want to check this movie out, you know. Yeah. People have just kind of lost their smile, I think.
Well, it's not saturated anymore. It's really not even around anymore. Like, before, you'd have a horror movie coming out almost every 2 weeks, I'd say.
Yeah.
And now you don't have one coming out maybe once every 4 or 5 months. But I know somebody made this argument, and to me, it's like, this is the problem I have with this argument. Someone said, well, like, things were going a lot better in the horror genre. Things were a lot more entertaining and energetic in the horror genre when all the stuff with the torture porn stuff was going on. That was the stuff that was, like, fueling the whole genre and everything. And that's why, like, that shows like ours and stuff don't draw as many people to them as they used to. And, like, let me tell you something. I will gladly give up the popularity of this show to end that fucking genre of shit that was going out. Because, my God, that was some of the worst shit ever put on film. Like, I understand that, like, it brought attention to the genre, but it was kind of bad attention, really. Like, it wasn't the kind of attention you really want.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I mean, because I think Schlogs, our good buddy that posts on the board and stuff, he was like, you know, defending the Saw movies as always. I mean, that's his big franchise, I guess. But you got to look at it like, okay, look at those Saw movies now. The stores can't really even give them motherfuckers away. I mean, it was one of those things that happened quick that a lot of the, and the key is, and I was talking about this in the video too, what the Saw movies did was they took, okay, they had your hardcore fans in there, but they also got enough people from outside of the genre to come in there and notice it. And that's the key. Like, that's what happened with Scream. That's what happened with Blair Witch Project, Sixth Sense, all those movies that really kind of made horror the big thing, you know, 10 years ago. They not only, you know, struck a chord with the mainstream hardcore horror fans, they also got the folks that are, hey, you know, this is cool, I'm liking horror again, you mm-hmm. know, and that's getting a lot of people to go back to the movie theaters and stuff like that. Now, that happened briefly with Saw, but I think that now it's over. Those same people are like, ah, that was just bullshit. You know, I was kind of dumb, even most of them, you know. Nobody's interested in those movies anymore at all. Like, I mean, that's the thing, man. If you go on, like, Go Hastings or one of those sites, you can get the entire Saw franchise on Blu-ray for probably $15, not counting shipping.
That's too high. But I think, the thing about it is, all those movies, though, not just Saw, like Hostel, Cabin Fever, Saw, any of those franchises, like, I don't know any people that really look back on those franchises and are like, golly, that was an awesome time for horror.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you never know. I mean, there could be some motherfuckers, you know, 15, 20 years from now, like people that are finding shit like, you know, Lunch Meat and shit on VHS.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, God.
Holy shit. But I guess the point I was trying to get at is, the people that hang around during this time are the real, like, diehard fucking genre fans of people. And really, everything goes through cycles like this. Like, anything popular that remains popular for a long time always goes through a cycle like this. And you can imagine anything that you want to, and there'll be a dead time, and there'll be a boom, and it'll go up and down, up and down, up and down. So, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, it really doesn't.
It matters to me.
I mean, because to be honest with you, there wasn't a whole lot of new stuff that ever came out that I ever liked anyway. Like, a lot of it was just fucking remakes and sequels and shit that was awful. And so I really don't give a shit. Like, I'm pretty much in the same spot I was in before, like when it was booming and stuff, except more people may have been listening to the show and stuff that were kind of casual horror fans, but...
That's true.
It's not like we got Nielsen ratings on this fucking thing or anything.
Yeah, it's not like we get, like, paid more for... Because we don't get paid shit.
So, in summation, eat my ass.
So I guess we will, like we were talking about, next segment on the show, we're going to go through, give our opinions on all the Batman movies. Now, this is not going to be like an in-depth dissection like a lot of these movies we've seen a million fucking times, like we did the fucking Friday the 13th franchise and shit like that. No. I mean, I think we're both kind of fans of the Batman movies, but not the hardcore level as most motherfuckers, where they're like, oh God, we know every character's name, we know the release date, we know how much money all these movies made and shit. Don't be looking forward to that.
No, although we could easily find that out if we wanted
to. Yeah, I've got a computer here. We're probably going to look up some of this shit, because there's some of these movies I absolutely don't remember at all.
Yeah, there's only one that I really have a hard time remembering, that's Batman and Robin, because that was the one, like I said, that it was only like, I only watched it once because it was so fucking
bad. Well, was that the last
one
until the Nolan movies, or was there another one?
No, I think that was the last one, yeah.
That was the one that kind of killed it.
Yeah, when they got to that point, where people were just like, God damn.
Yeah.
When you get to Mr. Freeze and all this.
Yeah, I mean, I remember they showed replays quite often on TBS and shit back in the day, and I never had a desire to watch them even then, so.
Yeah, we'll get to
that a little bit later on. We have some announcements we're going to make a little bit later on, too. We got some eBay auctions and stuff up, and their screening that's coming up on August the 3rd. We'll be talking about that. But we're going to go ahead and try to get into this goddamn news.
Because it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
I don't know if we can get through all
of
it.
It's amazing.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's see what
juicy news we have for this week.
Well, a film that I think we both saw and didn't really like very much, although we really admire the director, Bob Clark, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Now, he didn't direct that, though. He was the writer on that one.
Oh, did he write it?
Yeah.
I thought he directed it.
Alan Ormsey, didn't he direct it?
Oh, well, whatever. Okay. So, there's going to be a remake of it, though, so you got that.
Well, I know that one guy will email us if we didn't correct ourselves. So
yeah.
Like, you fucking idiots, fuck you.
I don't think he'll be emailing us anymore, though.
Probably not.
No.
I fixed that.
Yeah. So, Fangoria and Anchor Bay are teaming up to make the redo of Bob Clark's 1970 zombie film. Drew Daywalt scripted the update, and Tom Savini is on board to direct. What? Really?
Yeah.
The fuck? Says film is expected to begin later this year.
It's guaranteed to suck.
The film... said to be similar to the 70s take, concerns a group of filmmakers who accidentally awaken the undead. Folks, hadn't the last thing Tom Savini directed, wasn't it, Night of Living Dead?
Yeah,
90?
I mean, I thought he said he would never direct another movie.
Oh, good, he's back.
They finally convinced him.
As if he
it's
didn't have
a... It's time we do another remake, Tom, another zombie movie remake.
That's good. At least he'll have more pictures and shit around his table for people to get.
That's true.
For $20.
He could probably have, busts and stuff from the movie, too. You could sell those for overpricing.
Look here. Look here what I did.
How to direct a chicken shit that thing. Remake.
Let me tell you something, motherfucker. Even though I'm most well known for movie effects, don't ask me about none of them.
You know something?
Don't ask me about none of it.
Something that we were talking about, too, that I wonder how this will affect independent films, because within a year, we were actually talking to somebody at the luxurious Strand Twin in downtown Prestonsburg. Within a year, Hollywood is adapting 100% digital format. So, do you think this will cause more independent studios to come along? Because digitally to distribute it is nothing. It doesn't cost anything. As opposed to, I don't know how much a print costs to strike up, probably $1,000 a piece or something like that.
I guess so, man. But it's like, all those, there were so many fucking companies that shot up out of nowhere for a while there. Anyway.
I'm talking about movies you actually see in the damn theater, though. Would we see more independent films theatrically because it's not going to cost nearly as much to make up the prints?
You know, actually, that would be kind of nice. I mean, to have, you know, independent films with at least a decent budget, like in the hundreds of thousands or something like that, that would shoot up and get into theaters.
Yeah.
It would be a good change of pace, because really the only thing, like I said, that's out right now are superhero movies and kids movies, like Disney movies and stuff like that. Superhero movies, Disney
movies.
Vampire movies. And, like Twilight-ish kind of rip-off movies. And There needs to be something else. Like, who the fuck is even making dramas anymore? Like, you ever hear about a drama coming out?
Everybody's saving the drama for their mama.
That's true.
Hey, Uncle Bill, Reanimator.
Woo!
It's coming out on Blu-ray Def.
Woo!
September 4th.
That's actually one of the two that we always talked about that Anchor Bay should release. The other one was Phantasm. I'm not even sure if they got the damn
rights
there.
Well, oddly enough, like, I think they do. I think they have it for another couple of years.
Yeah.
They never, years and years ago, we'd heard a story that, Reanimator, Halloween 4, Halloween 5, and Phantasm are all being worked on right now. But, they're just now coming out, and Phantasm, we haven't heard anything about it.
I bet you'll hear about Phantasm soon. About probably around October will be when they're released.
It's definitely one that, like, I think it should have definitely already been out. We fucking already have, Blu-rays for, more Roger Corman movies than we deserved to. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Blu-rays of fucking all the Ernest movies and, I don't know, whatever else. Like a bunch of, Sharon Stone directed TV shit that Echo Bridge come out with. So Phantasm belongs on Blu-ray Death.
Sharon Stone's in Silent Vag. Oh, God.
Vag of Silence.
Vag of Silence.
Yeah, with Vag of Silence,
We're
going to cut to a break, and actually we've got a song that we came up with just right before this show. I guess we could cut to that.
Yeah.
Talking about...
Which pretty much sums up...
The state of the genre, kind of.
Yep.
So we'll be back after this break here on DeadPit.com.
Baby, we love war so much, and Hollywood don't understand. They can suck on my blue band on till it erupts with gum. Well, I think about superhero movies, wanna stab myself in the bow. Take a dirty old shit, rub it on my walls. If we close our eyes forever, wouldn't miss very much. Hollywood's fucked us over forever. Treat us like Asian slurs. Close our eyes forever. Wouldn't miss very much. Hollywood's fucked us over forever. Treat us like Asian slurs.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's about respect.
Welcome back, folks. How'd you like that song? Wasn't it cool?
I enjoyed the fuck out of it.
What an interesting song.
So we'll give people bonus points if they go over to the Dead Pit Universe Facebook page and post what song that was, actually.
Or go over to the Dead Pit message board, which a lot of people are making note that hardly anybody's going on anymore.
Right. Well, you know what? And if you have a message board, generally you want to have something to talk about, and there ain't shit to talk about right now.
We can talk about the awesomeness that is Asian anal.
Anal. Anal. Anal.
I want to talk about another fucking upcoming release. It's going to be awesome as shit. It's going to make my dick fucking hard right now.
Because
the Criterion Company, we all know and love Criterion, are expected to release Rosemary's Baby on October 30th. I'm saying it like Seamus. The 30th. Terrifying and darkly comic, Rosemary's Baby marked the Hollywood debut of Roman Polanski.
Kill.
He loves younger women, from what I understand.
Yeah, like 15, 20 years younger.
Yeah, when he was like, 20?
Yeah, he likes fetus.
The wildly entertaining nightmare, faithfully adapted from Ira Levin's bestseller, stars Mia Farrow. Yeah, as a young mother-to-be who grows increasingly suspicious that her over-friendly elderly neighbors, played by Sydney Blackmer and Oscar-winning Ruth Gordon, and self-involved husband John Cassavetes, are hatching a satanic plot against her and her baby, by God.
No!
Oh. In the decades of occult cinema, Polanski's ungodly masterpiece has spawned. It's never been outdone for sheer psychological terror.
I don't believe that. I don't fucking believe that. I think it has been outdone for sheer psychological terror.
Yeah, it probably has. But for a movie like this to come out the time it came out, it's pretty fucking killer, actually. Like, it came out in, what was the year, 68?
67, I think.
67, 68, something like that. New high-definition digital restoration approved by the director, Roman Polanski. I thought he was in fucking prison.
Maybe this was done before then.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if he ever went to prison, did he? I thought he was just like running from the law still from Sweden or something like that.
Maybe, I don't know. With uncompressed monorial audio soundtrack on the Blu-ray edition, new interviews with, I guess he isn't in prison, Polanski, Mia Farrow, Robert Evans, the producer, feature-length documentary Cometa on the life and work of jazz musician Christoph Cometa. But you burp like a nasty motherfucker. What in the hell did you eat?
Ass.
God damn. Jazz going on about my fucking farts, but your burp smell worse than my fucking ass.
I'm glad you could enjoy that with me.
So it's going to be a big deal, Uncle Bill. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, something I've always wondered about, though. Mia Farrow, a lot of people may or may not know this, I don't know. Her sister, Tisa Farrow, is in Zombie.
She's a bitch.
She's in...
Evidently, she's a complete bitch, too. Not going to tell you how I know that, but...
She's in Zombie, and she almost looks identical to Mia Farrow. Why did that woman ever have a film career? And Mia Farrow had, like, a long... film career, married Woody Allen, all that shit. Like, what the fuck happened to Tisa Farrow? I want to know. I'm curious.
She's up in Vermont somewhere sucking a dick.
Is that what she does?
She's doing.
She's sucking maple syrup out of a tree in Vermont.
I think she starred in Zombie, and that pretty much, like, sealed her career.
You win what?
I love Zombie and everything, but it's not like, you know, you're going to get Steven Spielberg. Like, goddamn, she was killing in Zombie.
All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, our good buddy's back. He's back in the saddle. Eli Roth.
Yeah.
Says he's in talks to helm a Dracula reimagining at Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers Pictures In this version, Russell Crowe is attached to play Dracula.
That'd be the best goddamn movie ever. All right, I'm gonna butt your goddamn leg, I am. God damn it.
Oi, you over here to have a beer with Dracula. You get it, you have
a beer. Hey, son of a bitch, won't you drink your fucking Foster's and stay away from that goddamn Bud Light. You know Foster's is Australian for beer.
Don't you try and stick me, I'll fight you. I'll fight you around the world.
Yeah, and I'll bite your goddamn dick off with me fangs.
Jami Colette Sarah, or whatever. Jami? Was previously attached to direct, but his other commitments, I don't know what other commitments.
Jami's a big motherfucker. He's working on the Babar remake.
Preventing him from coming on board. Instead, the studio has turned to Roth and are fast-tracking the project to shoot hopefully next year when Crowe has a scheduling window. Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Davison Killeron will produce. You know what? This is one of those movies.
This is bullshit.
I don't ever see that ever happening. This is like that shit that was on.
I'm pretty sure, like, even though Russell Crowe's career is not going, like, you know, as swimmingly as it was a few years ago, he's still not bad enough shape to fucking be in a movie directed by Eli Roth.
No. I can't imagine even that pair of people.
I mean, you go from fucking, what was the last movie Russell Crowe was even in?
The Cinderella Man was the last one I remember him in.
He was in American, wasn't he an American Gangster or something like that? Wasn't that Ridley Scott did that?
Yeah.
So you go, he's done a bunch of movies, Ridley Scott, I think. You go from Ridley Scott, you went from, who did the fucking Cinderella Man shit? I don't even know.
I don't know.
But big name guys that actually have talent. And you go from Eli Roth, I don't think you do that.
I don't either. I just don't ever see this working.
Speaking of another guy that's got a lot of talent but just doesn't show it, Alexander Aja is working on a movie called Horns. Daniel Radcliffe, you know, the fucker, little bastard from Harry Potter, is set to star in the supernatural fantasy thriller for Red Granite Pictures and Mandalay Pictures. Radcliffe will play Ig Parrish, the lead suspect in the violent rape and killing of his girlfriend. Hungover from a night of hard drinking, Ig, and his name is fucking Ig. Are you running out of goddamn names for characters? Why do you name a fucking character Ig? But he awakens one morning to find horns start growing from his goddamn head.
Huh.
And,
how about that?
Yeah, there's power-driven people to confess sins and give in to selfish impulses, becoming an effective tool in his quest to discover the circumstances of his girlfriend's death. It's based on Joe Hill's best-selling novel. Aja will direct from a script adapted by Keith Bunyan. Keith Bunyan. Shooting kicks off in the fall. So.
Oh,
and Joe Hill is actually Stephen King's son.
Hell yeah, you know he is. He surely is.
He wanted to make a name on his own because, you know.
Yeah, because he knew that no one would ever find out he was Stephen King's son. That would never happen. That's Joe Hill. You think at this point he'd probably change his name to something else if he really didn't want to make a living off that, because everybody knows who the hell Joe Hill is now.
Yeah, I think that somebody should change their name to Cooter Jenkins.
I think so, too, just for the hell of it.
A novel by Cooter Jenkins.
What about Slapdick McEnroe?
That'll work, too.
Be a good one. Anyway, speaking of Alexander Aja, a movie that he didn't have anything to do with, but he did the first one.
And Piranha, a movie that never came out in fucking theaters, like I said, motherfucker.
Right. Well, I've heard that it's so fucking bad it probably should never even come out on Blu-ray.
I think it came out maybe 10 or something like that. Real, real small run theaters.
But Piranha 3 Double D, which by all accounts is a fucking horrible movie from what I've heard, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's coming out from Anchor Bay and Dimension Films.
Well, John Gulliger directed it, so what do you expect?
On September the 4th, the 3D Blu-ray combo pack and DVD release, after the terror unleashed on Lake Victoria in Piranha 3D, the prehistoric school of bloodthirsty piranhas are back, and this time no one is safe from a flesh-eating fish as they sink their razor-sharp teeth into the visitors of summer's best attraction, the big wet water park. John Gulliger of the Feast series, of course, directs and special features include an audio commentary with the filmmakers, the story behind the Double D, the Hoff-tastic world of David Hasselhoff, Busey's bloopers, I'm assuming Gary Busey's in this fucking movie somehow.
Yeah.
Wet and Wild with David Kushner, and A Lesson with John McEnroe. But what the fuck are people doing these days, these movies? Somebody ought to be goddamn ashamed of themselves. You ought to be sitting in a room just hanging your head with a gun, like in your lap, thinking about killing yourself once shit gets to this level. You really should.
Don't even think about it. Just go ahead and do it. Make the world a better place.
I about had it with this retarded-ass shit of people getting all these dumb-ass D-level celebrities in these movies to try to make it like some sort of little hipster, fantastic movie experience. Fuck all that shit. Stop doing that. That's stupid.
All right. So, fuck everybody is basically what we're saying.
Well, that is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, opening this weekend, Uncle Bill, The Dark Knight Rises. It's time to get excited because 8 years on, a new terrorist leader, Bane, overwhelms Gotham's finest, and the Dark Knight resurfaces to protect a city that has branded him an enemy. Uncle Bill, he's an enemy now.
So he's a villain in this, then?
They're both villains, Bane and Batman.
and Catwoman's in this. Did you know that? Catwoman's in
it. Anne Hathaway.
Is there another...
Old buck-toothed bitch.
Is there another, like, villain in this?
No.
Catwoman, I think Bane's Bane. It. That's it.
Catwoman's kind of like his love interest in this, too, I think.
I want to see it, and hopefully we'll go and see it for free.
Hopefully.
I hope.
I still think we should probably wait until Sunday.
But I ain't waiting until Sunday. Fuck you.
Ain't you? You won't be in there with a big fucking
dog. I don't give a shit. So, are you ready for your DVD and Blu-ray releases?
Yeah, because there's a shitload of them.
Get ready. Strap yourself in. Here it comes.
Time to get wet.
Werewolf Fever's coming out. Woo! I'm not even kidding.
Get excited.
Werewolf Fever on DVD. That's it. That's all that's coming out. No, I'm just kidding. The Day After Halloween is coming out from Katarina's Nightmare Theater.
Yeah, which is an insanely shitty movie from what I understand.
The Hearse and Blood of Dracula's Castle from the same Katarina's Nightmare
Theater. Probably two insanely shitty movies.
The Island of Dr. Moreau, unrated director's cut on Blu-ray.
Mainstream shit.
WWE, The Undertaker's The Streak on Blu-ray. Hell yeah!
Yeah. I can watch all those movies in my own shit.
Star Trek, The Next Generation, Season 1 on Blu-ray. I bet a lot of nerds...
Hip, hip, hooray, you fucking nerds. Suck LeVar Burton dick.
Take a look. It's in a book. The Reading Rainbow. And Silent House, whatever the hell that is on Blu-ray. Yeah.
So... That's it.
So that's your DVD and Blu-ray release. I'm sorry if things are shitty, but it's just the
that's
way it
just
is.
That's just how it is right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the history of Batman in the fucking movies.
Oh, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. It's time to get wet now, motherfucker.
Here on DeadPit.
In 1968, George Romero brought us Night of the Living Dead. It became the classic horror film of its time.
It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
Now, George Romero brings us the most intensely shocking motion picture experience for all times. Dawn of the Dead.
This situation must be controlled before it's too late. They are multiplying too rapidly.
Night of the Living Dead has ended. Dawn of the Dead is here.
Not that room! Not that room!
They must be destroyed on sight.
Dawn of the Dead. This picture contains scenes of violence that may be considered shocking. No one under 17 will be admitted. Dawn of the Dead. From United Film Distributing Company.
Welcome to what is sure to be either an amazing success or a horrible failure.
I think it'll be okay, as long as people's opinions on the movies that I remember.
No, this is not one of those things where we are uber comic book geeks or that we know everything about the Batman mythology and all that stuff. It's not even that we know a whole ton of shit about all the movies. It's just we wanted to give a series of films that was kind of relevant now because the new Batman film's coming out tomorrow, I think, or actually tonight, or wait a minute, no, it would be tonight. And we wanted to do that in a whole series, and we've seen all of these films at one point or another. It's just we may not remember all of them.
Yeah. The one that I, you know, and we'll talk about all these in chronological order, too. I can tell you one that probably the earliest instance of Batman on film. It would have to be, actually. A lot of people may not realize, younger folks, and I didn't even realize it until I saw some of these DVDs. In the 30s and 40s, they would have these little episodes, kind of like TV in a way, where from week to week, it would be like a running, kind of like a moving comic strip, if you will. Like, you know, they put it together, they filmed it like a, maybe a shorter version of a weekly TV show is now or something like that. And these were called serials.
Right. Superman, I guess, was the most famous of all.
Yeah, so, you know, you had a lot of the, and I think the Three Stooges was considered, some of their shorts were shown in theaters and stuff like that too. And Batman actually had one, which I'd never seen before or anything. I think Big Lots years ago had it, and I've always considered myself, of all the superheroes and stuff, Batman is probably the one as far as like in TV and movies and stuff like that that I always kind of preferred, you know, just because the characters, I always liked the characters and the movies and stuff and the villains and all that.
I think Batman probably had also the best gadgets and stuff like that. Like, no other superhero that I can really think of actually had as much stuff that was kind of created by them that was really cool. Like, you had the Batmobile and the Batarang and the Bat grappling hook thing, and like all the stuff that, and the suit itself was amazing. It's like everything that was really like surrounding the character was really kind of cool.
And this was a time too, I think, in like, you know, for comic books and stuff, and I don't want to get into comic books, where like they were coming out with, you know, superheroes after animals and stuff. You know, I don't remember what some of the other early ones were, but, you know, kind of like the He-Man philosophy, where they would just come up with something and add man to it. You know,
right.
Owl-Man or something like that.
I'm sure there was an Owl-Man that I'm not even familiar
with. So, anyway, 1940s, they had these series of series, which were, some, you know, 10, 15 minutes long, maybe not even that long. And from what I saw, not very good. Like, some of the, this shit, watching it nowadays, especially since you've seen some of these big budget movies like The Dark Knight and stuff like that, doesn't really do Batman justice at all. Because the outfit itself, even compared to like the Adam West Batman, I mean, just really, really generic. Maybe for its time it was cool. But I was like, you know, when I bought it, I was like, oh, this would be pretty interesting, you know, just to see what the hell Batman looked like back then and all that. No.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, getting past that, I guess the next thing you would want to mention is, if we're going to talk about all the Batman movies, and it's the one that I know that you like quite a bit, would be the 1966 film adaptation of the television series, which stars Adam West and Burt Ward. Batman the movie, I think, is what that one was.
Absolutely love this movie, though. And I can remember I actually saw it. It used to come on HBO a lot before it came out on DVD or Blu-ray or anything like that. But I guess the thing that really is the coolest thing about this movie is all of the main villains that were in the show that people really, really liked were included in the movie. Like, the plot of the movie is all of the villains kind of gang up together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it must be the Joker, or maybe it's the Penguin, I don't remember which, that have created like a dehydrator that turns humans into dust,
right,
and all this stuff. And towards the middle of the film, I can't remember exactly why this comes about, but their hideout is a submarine. Like, it's a giant submarine, and they're all four, like, down there. And they're plotting all this stuff and shooting all these missiles and stuff at Batman and Robin, and there's this whole thing. That's like their lair or whatever. But you had Burgess Meredith as the Penguin, you had Cesar Romero as the Joker, you had Frank Gershwin as the Riddler, and then Lee Merriweather was Catwoman at that time. And just to have all four of those together in a movie was amazing. But really, the coolest part about it was how well that all the main villains played off each other. Like, they were all really good actors anyway, but they...
Well, they were all familiar with each other, yeah. too, because, I mean, this was a series that had been going for, you know, a little while before the movie was made. And, you know, that whole Batman, like, and I always loved the show as a kid because it's just, it's made for kids, really. I mean, that's all the show was. Now, there are, looking back at it now, the movie, too, there's, like, some hilarious shit in there that I think was sort of tongue-in-cheek for the adults to get into as well. But, you know, I mean, the movie, it is what it is. I mean, it's, I know a lot of hardcore Batman fans kind of hate the entire, you know, Adam West series and movie and stuff like that. But you got to take it for what it is. I mean, this was in the mid-60s, you know, the early to mid-60s the show was on. And, you know, I mean, you can tell when you watch it. You know, it was before the kind of the hippie era of the 60s, I would say.
It's like the, I always looked at it as kind of like a laugh-in version of Batman. You know what I mean? It was very comedic. It had like the sound effects yeah. were written on the screen when somebody got punched and all that. And everything was really, really colorful, almost like a come-to-life cartoon or something like that at that time. And everybody knows Adam West was kind of like the William Shatner of that genre, very dramatic and very kind of over the top in his acting. And it, the TV show, if you've seen the TV show, I still think it's a fucking hell of a show though. It's a fun show. It's incredibly campy, like you're saying, but it's very, very like endearing to this day.
Well, I mean, what the show did too in this movie is they really did, you know, make it a live action comic book.
Yeah.
I think is what they were kind of going for, especially with the pals and the wax and all that shit, you know, too. So, you know, it's, I think it was one of the only shows that really did something like that. And it's interesting to go back and look. And like, I remember, I think one of the very early Blu-rays that I got into review was of this particular movie. And it was fun to actually go.
You remember though, there's scenes in this movie that are goddamn hilarious. So like where, I don't remember which one of them it is. I think it might be the Joker that has all this these piles of dust,
uh-huh.
and he adds water to them, and they turn into like the goons that like fight Batman and Robin and shit. It's, I mean, it's not anywhere near believable, but it's amazingly like kind of funny.
Cesar Romero though, like he was an awesome Joker, really.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he just.
I thought Frank Gershwin was an awesome Riddler, and I also thought that Burgess Meredith was a fucking awesome Penguin. I think that he's probably the best overall Penguin.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing it much campier and lighter than Danny DeVito would when we get into that, but I thought he was just a better overall actor anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, 1960s, the show, you know, was popular for a brief period of time, then it kind of went away, and Batman, like, I guess as far as, like, for some reason, for over about 23 years or so, was not prevalent at all, you know, in Hollywood. I mean, I don't know why the reason was, because...
Well, if you remember, though, when we were kids, probably in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s...
Yeah.
Like, nobody talked about that show for probably 20 years. And then all of a sudden, I don't remember if it was Nick or one of those stations started doing reruns of the old Batman series on TV.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I remember being a kid and I was rewatching it and I thought it was like
awesome. Well, I remember them on, they were on syndication quite a bit too, the old shows and stuff.
Yeah, somebody picked them back up and they started running them again like pretty heavily in rotation. And one of those kids kind of channels, maybe USA or Nick or one of them, but I just remember like finally getting to see it and watching it over again and stuff and thinking it was like really, really great. It kind of had a resurgence there at that point in time.
So I know that they I had heard stories that they were working on the movie since the mid 80s and 89, and I can still remember this, man. I mean, it was probably one of the very first movies that, you know, growing up where I was like, I noticed that it was a huge deal.
Yeah, me too. It was, yeah.
Because everybody had on your Batman shirt. You remember the Batman standees, they have the Slurpee cups, the Batman Slurpee cups, every Batman figures.
Mm-hmm.
It was every damn where. And I remember going to see this in the movie theater, and I was just so, like, overwhelmed by everything that was hopping it up. And there was, I think right after that, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but, like, this really started the summer blockbusters back again, I thought, after Batman.
And I just remember, I can clearly remember, this was one of only about two or three movies that I've ever seen where the fucking, like, when you went to the theater, at least when I went to the theater, the line was down the road.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was like, and I remember it being completely sold out. We were packed in there and, like, really, really close to the front when we first saw it. It was me and Dad that first saw it and everything. And I was just amazed by how many damn people there were in there, for one thing. But that movie stayed like that for weeks. Like, it was sold out for weeks in advance. Like, it was sold out for days in advance and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And people, like you said, it was almost like borderline insane. People were like shaving the Batman symbol into their fucking heads and stuff. And like, it was just, everything was Batman.
You remember, like, the Simpsons were popular kind of at the time too, I think. And like, you had the Bartman
or something.
Yeah, the Bartman character and all that stuff come from Batman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, one of the things that even as a kid though, that I was surprised about, was who they got to play Batman in this.
Yeah, it's still weird when you look back on it.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you could argue up and down one way or another that it worked or it didn't work. Or like, some people hate him as Batman because of the believability factor of it. I mean, he's not a very big guy at all. And, like, the suit itself is much more of the factor of the physicality of the movie. But I actually thought that him being as good as an actor as he was, you need somebody that's a really good actor first and then somebody that's physical second, because you can always make him look bigger or whatever with everything else added on.
Just the way you...
But I thought he did a really good job. We're talking about Michael Keaton
right.
playing Batman, of course.
Yeah, but the thing is like right before that, he was fucking Beetlejuice.
Right.
So you're like, how in the fuck does he go from like Beetlejuice to Batman? I mean, it's just bizarre. Now, I think it was just the year before that or something. Too. Same director as well, which... Maybe Tim Burton had a hard-on for Michael Keaton at the time. But I always thought that, you know, still to this day, he's probably my favorite Batman. Just because there wasn't a huge, you know, and I can't say that for Christian Bale, too. Like, there's not a huge gap between Batman and Bruce Wayne. And there's no big difference between those two. You know, they're kind of the same guy. And the Christopher Nolan movies, it's like, yeah, he's like, I'm talking really deep and motherfucker, I'm tough now, goddammit. For no reason, just because he wants to.
I guess it's something that maybe he's trying to protect his identity, or maybe he's just trying to be a dumbass, I don't know. But in this one though, talk a little bit about, real quick, about Tim Burton. To me, this was the good Tim Burton. I classify Tim Burton in two different stages of his career, okay? This stage was the Tim Burton stage before Tim Burton really, really started to like Tim Burton. And
started to get off on his sale.
Yeah, it's like this stage he's actually trying to make something entertaining and trying to like not be so goddamn artistic and like over the top gothic and all that stuff.
Well, didn't you think that this was probably the first movie where he went, you know, for that complete gothic like look? Because even with Beetlejuice, like, it was a little bit like that, but still, like, not everybody was like, oh, we're in this dreary fucking town.
Well, he created that, I think, because the story lent itself to that, really.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what Gotham City was supposed to look like.
Yeah, but then, like, he never left Gotham City after
that. No, he didn't. He was, like, permanently stuck in Gotham City, apparently. But one of the most important things that he did in this film was he cast Jack Nicholson as the main villain, which was the Joker. And that was the only main villain in this movie, by the way. Like, in the other movies, there'd always be at least two. But in this one, it was just the Joker. He was the guy. And they paid him, I remember this still to this day, and this is 1989. They paid Jack Nicholson $60 million to star in this movie as the Joker. I guess that's the only way they could get him to do it, but, and pretty much he delivers exactly what you'd expect from Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it's a very memorable role, and a lot of people were really shocked to see that he would do something like this, because it is like, you know, it's not something that you would say, oh yeah, that's Jack Nicholson, he's the fucking Joker. You know, you just don't, because at this point in time, he was like getting up there a little bit too. I mean, he was.
Yeah, he probably would have been in his 40s, I'd say, at this point.
40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those deals where it's kind of surprising. And, also the cast, you had, Kim Basinger, Basinger, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is one of those actresses, I guess, that was kind of like a model turn actress. And like, she was kind of popular at the time, so you just needed, you know, some sort of eye candy, I guess, to be in the movie. And she didn't really, you know, she didn't really add much to the film, I didn't think. Played, what was her name, Vicky Vale or something like that?
Vicky Valancourt.
Vicky Valancourt, baby.
Yeah, I think it is Vicky Vale, yeah.
And who's some more of the cast members in this?
Well, you had Jack Palance was the main villain that I guess Jack Nicholson's takes over from.
Yeah.
Like he was the head.
Billy
crime
D.
Mall.
Williams was in it.
Billy D. Williams
too.
Was in it. Yeah, I can't remember if he was the mayor or something. He was something like that. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I think he was the mayor.
The butler. I cannot remember that guy who was the butler.
Some old fuck.
He always. I always really liked him in the movie, though. I thought he was good. This is more like the origin story of Batman, though. It goes back in this one and tells about how his parents were murdered by the,
Michael
Michael Goh?
Yeah.
Okay, that was the guy that was both.
Which, oddly enough, man, that guy just died last year. So he was, I'm looking at, he was 94 years old when he died. Wow.
Yeah. But it's a basic origin story talking about how Batman became Batman in the beginning of it, and how, like, what happened with his parents being murdered, and
Alfred kind of raising
yeah,
him.
And then there's a side love story with him and the Vicky Vale character, and all the meanwhile, the Joker is, I remember the end of the movie is, his big thing is he's created this giant float that he's going to go down Main Street in Gotham City and release all this poison and murder all the people that are in the,
yeah,
the streets, and the rest of it's just Batman really trying to stop that.
You know, a lot of the movie too has like, and I think that, and I don't know if anybody else at the time could have done that, what Tim Burton did, just the design itself of the whole movie and the way the movie looks. You have, and I think it's genius how he does this too. You have like all these dark characters and everybody else, and you've got the villain is the most colorful character of them all. He's making all these deadly weapons and stuff that look like toys and shit or whatever else.
Yeah.
And it's
he's
just,
got some amazing lines in this movie too, man. Like, this town needs an enema. I mean, they gave all the best stuff to Jack Nicholson in this. I mean,
yeah,
all of his lines in it are just hilarious. Like, he's making fun of Jack Palance in one scene. I remember that clearly. Like, he's mimicking the way he talks and everything. And there's a scene where he shocks the guy to death with the hand buzzer, and it like fries him and all that. And
Something else too that I remember a lot about this movie is the soundtrack too, which was really
Elfman.
Popular. Yeah, and they also had like, didn't Prince do some music?
Yeah,
and shit
Prince did the Bat Dance.
Yeah,
and there was another song.
I think there's actually a Prince song actually in the movie itself too.
Yeah,
like,
it's when
the dance sequence with him and Kim Basinger's character is it.
Well, there's the scene at the end where he's going down on the float that has a Prince song over top of it. Like,
yeah. Well, there's some other song with...
Yeah.
I think it's another Prince song or something, too.
But Prince had a lot to do with this movie, which is weird. It really is.
Prince is weird.
Yeah. But so, it really... I really don't even compare this movie to, like, the Christopher Nolan series of movies. Because the Christopher Nolan series of movies is... If you look at, like, Heath Ledger's Joker and this Joker, which a lot of people have compared the two of them, there really is no comparison. Like,
they're
completely different. Yeah. The one's like really more of a cartoon. One's more of like a psychotic killer type of person.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Jack Nicholson's Joker is it's really not that scary. But with Heath Ledger's, it's kind of like, wow, this guy's got fucking mental problems or something.
Yeah.
You know?
But, and they work very well in either way, in my mind.
Yeah. The movie ended up making a total of $411 million.
God damn.
So in 1989, that's a shitload of money.
Yeah.
That's a shitload of money now.
Yeah.
For sure. So, I think it says, too, Batman was the first film to earn $100 million in its first 10 days release. That's the first film ever to do that.
Yeah, I can believe that, the way that it was insanity around that time. But yeah. What would you say on the, how many batarangs would you give this movie, buddy?
Honestly, man, it's one of those movies, when I first saw it as a kid, I really didn't like it that much. I thought it was like, because I heard all the hype and stuff, I guess. But I actually do remember that Christmas, my grandmother got me and my cousin both the VHS. And at that point in time, man, it's not like now. I mean, when you had a VHS, you watched it. I mean, you watched it a few times. So, I learned to actually really love the movie, and I think it still to this day, it's right up there. Maybe still my favorite of all the Batman movies.
Yeah, I'd say I would, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give this one an 8. Like, I remember, I actually did like this movie the first time I saw it in theaters, and went on and watched it, like, later on in life, and I still like it, and I still think, I really don't like Tim Burton, man. As a matter of fact, I hate Tim Burton now. Like, I think the stuff that he does now is completely ridiculous, and, like, he's got so many people fooled into thinking he's actually doing anything creative at this point, where he's just basically rehashing, like, the last 10 series of films that he's done. But at this point in time, like, this was, how long ago was this now? Like, 21 years, 22 years, something like that.
Yeah.
At this point in time, I think he was at the best that he ever was, especially for a film like this.
So, it took, like, I think a couple years, 2 or 3 years, for the sequel to come out. And I don't think Tim Burton wanted to do the sequel, but they kind of, like, I guess they just paid him what he wanted, and he did it. And I always remember kind of liking the sequel, too, but it's been, I haven't seen that movie in years. I haven't seen it in many years, actually.
Well, the sequel becomes much, much darker than the original Batman. I don't know if he was like, if he listened to the backlash that a lot of people were saying about how the Joker was in the movie and how kind of campy it was. But it seemed like in this one, like, it was still kind of darkly campy, but it was much more fucking just... He was, seemed intent on kind of freaking people out. And it was, you know, how the first one was mostly aimed towards kids. And this one is really not. Like, it's really kind of hyped up sexual stuff with Michelle Pfeiffer playing Catwoman.
Yeah, everybody still talks about that outfit she
had. Yeah, and hyped up kind of violence with Danny DeVito playing the Penguin.
Yeah, Penguin, the Penguin in this is a complete, like, I mean, just...
He's a pervert.
Yeah,
he's
a fucking different, completely different than the original Penguin from the show.
It's not trying to be comedic at all. It's like he's like a essentially a slobbish, perverted kind of just almost like a pedophile kind of character.
Disgusting motherfucker.
Yeah. And Batman, of course, is still basically the same. It's Michael Keaton. Like that's one thing I will say. There was no development in the character of Batman. It just stayed the same.
Or
the
Bruce
villains,
Wayne or anything.
Yeah, the villains changed, but everything else stayed the same.
I think. Michelle Pfeiffer's character, Selina Kyle, I think, was when she wasn't Catwoman. That was, you know, when they kind of had like a love interest thing going on there. But that's pretty much all that I can remember as far as the Bruce Wayne.
Well, it's the way that she becomes Catwoman. I thought was much more interesting the way they did it in this movie. Was
the Halle Berry movie?
Well, fuck, I don't want to get into that. What it was is she was. She had the boss who was Christopher Walken in this movie, and she's working for him, and she finds out kind of accidentally about this kind of corruption plot that's going on within the company that he's working for, and he ends up pushing her out the window, and she is, for some reason or another, rescued by this pack of cats that breathes life back into her after she's dead, and she becomes, I don't know, like a zombie at first. Like, it changes her whole personality, and she becomes like a cat. Essentially. So, and then the backstory behind the Penguin is that he was kind of discarded in this sewer because he had all these physical deformities and all this stuff.
Ugly little fucker.
Yeah. And grew up and it was a kind of a leader of this carnival band of robbers and he's running for, I think it's mayor as well of Gotham City in this too.
Yeah, I don't really, I remember actually kind of liking this movie quite a bit, but it's not one of those that, like, I can remember a whole lot about. I do remember Christopher Walken, and did they kidnap him in it or
yeah.
something?
Yeah. The Penguin kidnaps him.
Yeah. And, let's see, you've got the Penguin, you've got the Catwoman. Is there any other villains?
No, those are the only two that I can recall. Yeah. It seems like, I don't remember if it's this one where Bane makes like a really brief appearance, but it does. Nobody even really calls him by the name Bane or anything.
Yeah, I don't even know if Bane existed in the comic book at this point, though.
He's in one of these movies.
Like,
I don't remember which one it is.
Whenever
maybe it's Batman and Robin.
It might have been because whenever that shit was popular, like whenever Bane like broke Batman in the back or whatever the fuck it was, they were in the that was popular to kill off these characters and do something like you know. I think that was around 93 or 94, because I was kind of into comic books a little bit then. Maybe I'm wrong. Of course, I'll probably get emails if I am, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But
you had... I really do like this movie, though. I still like it. Like, I watched it again recently, probably a couple months ago or something. I watch it whenever it comes on, because it's basically carrying over the same formula as the first one, but he just made it much more dark and much more kind of not kid-safe at all. Added a bunch of really kind of surreal subplots to the characters and how they became the people that they are, and he made it to where it was really unclear in this one who the villains were and who like the heroes were, especially with Catwoman. Like, you could never really figure out throughout the movie until the end, I guess, like what side she was on, which is kind of true to the comic books and stuff too.
Yeah. Now the movie, I think Danny Elfman did the music again. I don't really remember as far as the soundtrack, you know, if they had, did they have some mainstream music in there too? I don't really remember.
I don't remember it being in there.
I don't think so. But the movie was successful. I mean, it did, didn't do as well as the first movie, but it still made like almost 300,000.
Or 300 million.
Or 300 million. Yeah, it'd been 300,000. That wouldn't have been too good.
It was just, I think that the reason people didn't like it so much is because it really kind of wasn't safe to take kids to it. And, like, I guess they figured after the first one that that would be the way that it would go, you know, the action adventure kind of movie where you have, like, a really colorful kind of excited villain and all that, and everything is product tie-ins and stuff, but this one was really not like that at all. Like, you really couldn't tie in the Penguin's character to a bunch of products because the character was just so unlikable that it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I think they tried that, but I mean, it's one of those deals where, like, you know, and I think, honestly, that they probably should have tried to crank out the Batman movie a little quicker because it was 3 years. This movie came out 3 years later, so maybe if they would have got it a year later or something like that, it would have done, you know, better.
I give big props to everybody in this movie, though. I thought they did a good job in their own way with the characters, like Catwoman and Penguin and all that.
So, okay, we move on from, you know, I guess 3 years after that, there was yet another Batman movie, and this time, I guess this was the beginning of the Joel Schumacher Batman.
Now, this by far, and depending on who you ask, you get different responses, but this is by far my least favorite type of Batman movie, was when Schumacher took over, because, man, it just became like Michael Bay making fucking Batman movies. It was like all substance, no kind of like, no originality, no look. Like, it was generic as hell. It just, everything looked all just... sets. It looked like a bunch of sets or something thrown together, and like
it looked way too like MTV, like just mainstream.
It was just generic. Like I said, like, I mean, I know the point is to try to make it look like a comic book, but you don't have to make it look like a really shitty comic book. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'd heard that Michael Keaton originally was attached to, I guess it was Batman Forever. And he was one of them that didn't like the direction, of course, it was going. So, of course, who's first on the list, boys? It's fucking Val Kilmer.
Which is amazing if you look at Val Kilmer now, like...
Even, like, okay, I could think of probably, off the top of my head, you know, 10 other people at the time that would have been better Batmans than Val. How did they fucking come up with Val Kilmer?
I have no idea. I will say, though, that the trend became, I think, with this movie, or actually it became with Batman Returns probably more so, was, okay, in the first movie you had one villain. The second, in Batman Returns, you had two. And this one, they were like, well, fuck, we had two before. Right. Let's kick up three.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with, like, a lot of the, you know, because I'm not big into the comic books and shit. So, honestly, and people may be like, what the fuck? I mean, I don't know who the fuck Two-Face was when it came out. I was like, who the fuck's Two-Face? How the fuck am I going to know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't Nicole Kidman, wasn't she fucking Lady Blossom or something like that? Or what was her name?
No. Nicole Kidman was like a reporter in it or something. Oh, like
I thought
that.
She was a superhero.
No,
too.
No.
Am I thinking of Uma
Thurman was Poison Ivy.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, these two pieces of shit run together. I don't know which is which. I just look at them as, you know, the Schumacher pieces of shit, basically.
Yeah. So in this one, though, you had, I remember this very clearly. I've seen this movie a couple times, and I don't know why. It's almost mesmerizing how bad it is. Edward Nygma is Jim Carrey, who plays the Riddler. That's his thing.
Enigma.
He comes upon and creates a device that somehow or another goes on your head and it collects, I don't remember what it is, it collects brain waves or something like that, and it makes him smarter, so like he keeps getting more and more intelligent and all this shit.
Right.
And basically becomes the Riddler. And Tommy Lee Jones is definitely the second fiddle to this in this equation. It's much more about the Riddler. It's like the Jim Carrey show. Because if you remember around this time.
Yeah, Jim Carrey was real big.
He was huge. Yeah. This was like right after Ace Ventura and The Mask and all that stuff. It was like, he was really.
So he was a big money player in this one.
Yeah. So it was all about him. And I don't even recall, man. And I've seen this movie, like I said, several times. Uma Thurman, very small part as Poison Ivy. And really didn't get utilized at all in
Why
the movie.
Why don't we talk, which movie are we talking about?
We're talking about Batman Forever right now.
Is Uma Thurman in Batman Forever, or is she in the other one?
Wait a minute. Is she in fucking Batman and Robin?
I told you, folks. That's what I was thinking, because I keep thinking of these two movies keep going together for me. So we might as well just mix them two together, because I can't. What is the, like you mentioned, vague plot that the Riddler's got some sort of brainwave thing.
I just remember,
thoughts.
Like, I remember he's a scientist in it, right? And
Enigma.
And somehow or another, he creates this thing that you put it on your head, and it literally like steals.
Put it on your
I don't remember
head.
If it steals other people's intelligence or if it steals their thoughts or like if it steals some sort of brain waves. But it all comes like into this thing and makes him smarter. And he's just sitting up like all the time, like getting smarter to the point where it drives him crazy eventually.
Yeah.
And I don't even really fucking remember what Tommy Lee Jones is like doing. He's running around like.
Tommy Lee Jones is just looking like somebody's fucking slapped Play-Doh and shit all over one side of his face.
Yeah. All I remember about him is he carries the coin that he flips to see if somebody lives or dies in this movie too. And that's like part of his gimmick or whatever.
Yeah. Well, something else I'm looking down here too, and I absolutely don't remember this at all. Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar is Sugar and Spice, Two-Face's good and bad assistants.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, to be honest, folks, like, as far as the details in these movies, I don't remember fucking any of them. I just remember, like, they're on TNT or TBS all the time back in the day, and I never really had the desire to watch them.
Okay, I think I just jogged my memory out. Okay, fuck all that stuff I was saying about Poison Ivy. She's actually in Batman and Robin, but I knew it was one of the movies, the Schumacher movies, but she's
Nicole
not,
Kidman's Lady Blossom.
Uma Thurman. She's not in it enough, like, to even be considered in the movie. That's what I'm talking about. She's in Batman and Robin.
Nicole Kidman's Lady Blossom.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking about Uma Thurman. Fuck Nicole Kidman.
I would.
Lady Blossom.
That'd
Batman.
Be awesome character.
Batman.
Oh, shit.
Now, if I'm... God, I hope I'm right about this, but I'm pretty sure I am.
Batman, you're wrong, buddy. You're going to get hate mail.
Batman Forever is the introduction of Robin, is it not? With fucking... Whatever. Chris O'Donnell.
There's two of them that have Robin in it.
Right. So Batman Forever would be that. Two-Face is the guy that murdered Robin's parents. Because they
Oh,
were,
God.
They were circus performers.
You Two-Face some bitch.
Like trapeze artists or something like that. And something happens. I don't remember.
You know what Robin's real name is?
No.
Dirty Dick Grayson.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the reason why his ass is in this. Because he basically makes... Robin, an orphan or something. He goes and joins Batman, and like they get together and butt hump each other.
I think Michael Gogue, who played Alfred, he's the only guy that's actually reprising his role from the other movies. I guess he didn't have much else to do.
No, probably not. I don't think I ever seen that guy in another movie.
So
what are your thoughts about this movie?
I think it's a piece of shit.
It's not very good, no. It's actually a ton better than the movie that comes up after this, though.
I just think, like, it was during a time period, 1995, to me, when I think of that year, I just think of shit. Everything that came out that year, everything that happened that year, movies, wrestling, sports, shit, shit, shit. It was not a very good year for anything. Music, shit.
So you didn't like fucking
music. You had fucking, who was it? The fucking Crash Test Dummies or motherfuckers. No, who's the Bare Naked Ladies and shit like that?
Yeah.
Fucking stupid Canadians.
Chicken to China, the Chinese chicken. You take a drip stick and your butt starts ticking. Watch that.
Fucking Smash Mouth, another one.
God, don't even get me started on that shit. That's awful.
Hey now, giggle my dick, giggle my dick till it comes. Hey now.
So anyway, that's Batman Forever. I apologize for getting Uma Thurman mixed up in those movies, but you got to admit, those movies are pretty generic and kind of shitty.
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised that the Batman franchise was able to kind of move past these two movies and go on to actually do something worthwhile.
Batman and Robin's next. And in this one, like, I guess they figured, you know what? Let's just fucking throw everything in the world into this. We'll put Batman and Robin in it. We'll have three fucking, like, we'll have two villains, and we'll have Batgirl. Batgirl is not even in this movie for maybe 10 minutes, I'd say, Batgirl. The whole thing. And Batgirl is played by, of course, Alicia Silverstone.
If Joel Schumacher had done another one, he would have Robin Girl in it, too. Robin's little faithful sidekick. Robin Girl.
Robin. Sparrow. Yeah.
So in this one, they couldn't even get Val Kilmer back. And I'm pretty sure the only reason George Clooney did this movie is because nobody gave a fuck about him back then. So he was Batman in this. I think the only thing he'd done up to this point was fucking ER and shit.
Yeah.
And the Golden Girls back in the day.
And Return to
Horror Facts High. Of Life. He was on episodes of Facts of Life, yeah. Too. So, this one, the big villain, and this was like, I remember, like, everybody was talking about this in the news, too, like it was some big damn thing. Arnold Schwarzenegger was playing the lead villain in this because he had never played, he was always a good guy in these movies and, like, about anything he ever did. And now he was going to be this bad dude, Mr. Freeze. Who I'd never fucking heard of before. I'm sure there was a character named Mr. Freeze, but God damn it, he wasn't like, you know,
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, he wasn't like fucking earth shattering.
No, I'm gonna be honest
some
with
sort
you.
Of,
I remember Mr. Freeze from a little bit from the time period of the comics. He was like a nerdy little dude, like inside of this suit. Like, the Mr. Freeze character and thing was like a nerdy little scientist kind of dude.
How big was Mr. Freeze in the comic book, though? Was it like a long-running character? Was he known as a big
villain? I don't really know, man. Like, I didn't get that heavy into it. I just remember seeing pictures of him in some of the comics I used to read. But they, when they got Schwarzenegger, they were like, let's get this big jacked-up sumbitch.
Hillbilly.
Like, yeah, put him in this giant glacier suit and have him just spout out one-liners for...
Hey, Batman, fuck you!
Yeah, oh, man. That's the part I remember the most about this movie is just how fucking bad, like, he is in this. Like, even for him, Like, it's so over the top with those one-liners and shit. Like, hey, freeze! And he would, like, freeze them or whatever. And then be like, there's always some little, like,
yeah,
one-liner in anything that he does.
Why don't you cool off?
Exactly. Yeah. But it sucks. It really does. And
yeah, I just like, I remember all the fucking, I guess they were trying to make them modern, the costumes and stuff for all the superheroes. They just ended, like today, they look so unbelievably dated and generic today. Like, not only Batman and Robin's outfit, but I remember Batgirl's outfit just looks fucking ridiculous. Like, it looks just exactly like what it is. It's fucking, like, painted fucking foam rubber shit all over them.
I think the biggest problem with this movie, now that I look over the cast, is the cast. It's like, nobody really fits in this movie. No. Like, Arnold was horrible as Mr. Freeze. George Clooney's horrible as Batman. He's the most, like, lifeless, generic Batman.
Chris O'Donnell's ever. Always horrible.
Yeah, Chris O'Donnell's a piece of shit in no matter what he's in.
Uma Thurman don't fit
Uma
in
Thurman is
all.
Not even in it at all, like, enough to make any kind of difference. And so is Alicia. It's like, if you took Uma Thurman and Alicia Silverstone out of that movie, no one would fucking care. Like, they wouldn't remember at all.
Who else was in this? Vivica Fox was in this? I don't remember her.
I don't
know. She was the fucking one.
Yeah, this is the one with Bane. That's okay. What I was thinking.
Yeah, it was the guy that played, that was, what was his name in WCW? Wasn't he called the Ultimate Solution or something like that? The big fucking motherfucker?
He's a big fucking motherfucker. I know
Jeep
that.
Jeep Swenson. I know he's the wrestler. Let's see if they've got a photo of him. Probably don't. Because, again, it is Jeep Swenson. Yeah. He was bald and shit then, though, in WCW.
God.
That boy was a friend of the road. He died shortly after. I see that movie came out. Okay, he died on August 18th, 1997. When did this movie come out? This movie might have killed Jeep Swenson.
I think this movie killed Jeep Swenson's, not only his career, but it killed him.
Let's see. Yeah. So, yeah, movie came out June 20th, 97. He died August 18th. Not a coincidence, folks. The shittiness of this movie killed him.
Man, what can you really say about this movie? It was fucking horrible.
Yeah, like I was saying, I'm honestly surprised that they were able to move past these Schumacher movies. Because, I mean, to me, it just made, like, Batman was one of the most uncool things in the mid to late 90s. I mean, they just made it so fucking, like, you know, just mainstream and stupid. Something that a little fucking kid would like. That's the worst thing you can go for if you're...
Well, I think that was kind of the reaction of... I think after Batman Returns came out, the studio was like, what in the fuck was he doing, like, making something that dark? So I guess they were like, make something, like, incredibly comic booky, generic, and lighthearted. And, like, that's when Schumacher came in and was like, okay, I'll make, like I said, the Michael Bay version of Batman, where everything's kind of just, you know, oversaturated and just nobody, there's no real character development. And so that's when you get, like, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. And yeah, that leads us into the backlash of all that was what we got now, really, with Christopher Nolan's.
Right. Well, I mean, there were a lot of different proposals too for movies before Batman Begins came out. Like, you know, Batman Year One, Batman versus Superman, which, goddamn it, why? Those are both fucking superhero guys. Why would they be going? I don't know. But finally, Christopher Nolan, I guess, in 2005, Batman Begins. And, you know, it's one of those movies that it's completely different than anything that had ever been done, you know, previously with Batman. Because, as I remember, the first half of the movie, you don't see nothing about Batman. You don't even, you know, you don't know, well, I mean, they tell you along the way, you know, how the bat comes to be and all this stuff where he actually falls down and breaks his leg and these bats, you know, scare the shit out of him as a kid, and it leads to his parents being killed, you know, his fear of bats and stuff like that. And, but the whole bat suit and stuff, they kind of go in detail about how all this stuff, you know, comes to be. And they really fucking explain it in great detail in Batman Begins. And even like, you know, I think after his parents die in the movie, he, you know, goes to school, and then he kind of skips out on school and becomes like a recluse for a long time, and is trained by Liam Neeson, who's like, I think they train him to be a ninja or something like that. They train him the art of the ninja.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And all this stuff, you know, comes into play. And
how many damn movies does Liam Neeson need to be in, by the way? I just like to take a moment to ask that question, really, because I've seen that guy in almost every popular movie that you can think of. But this is, you know, it's weird because really, the Schumacher movies, they kind of lost any kind of style or edge or darkness or anything like that. And then even like the Tim Burton movies had, but this movie really like picked that shit back up. Yeah. Like the whole tone of the movie was completely different. They weren't trying to play anything for laughs, and they weren't trying to like be like.
And I like the fact that, you know, they have all the characters. I think, let me get some of the actors' names and stuff that's in this. You know, Cillian Murphy, who's in, what was that damn zombie movie now? I can't even fucking remember.
Oh, 28 Days Later.
28 Days Later. And, you've got Gary Oldman in it. You've got,
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's briefly in it.
Morgan Freeman!
You know, a lot of the gangsters and stuff that they made, you know, they kind of made hokey in the Batman movies. In this one, they kind of explained it in more detail like something like a Godfather movie would, where these guys are kind of pulling the strings and they have all the, you know, the police and the mayor and everything you know, taking a paycheck from them, and they're the real dangerous guys out there and all that. And I think the thing that he does more than anything, yeah, Tom Wilkinson's guy I was talking about played a really good bad guy in this movie. But it's just the characters, man, they do such a great job building every character in this and the next movie we're going to be talking about too. And I think that really helps these movies quite a bit, because you just have so much involved in each of these damn characters, man. It really makes for a better movie.
Yeah, I guess that's the key that they really didn't have in the other movies is the script, like, and the way that they spend time. That's one thing I'll say about Christopher Nolan's movies. They're all long, and they do spend time, like, fleshing out each one of the different characters in the story, whereas they didn't do, like, in the Schumacher movies, they had, like, 15 fucking characters, and none of them were talked about for maybe 5 minutes in the movie. You're like, oh, here's Batgirl. Take a look at her. We're going to make a fucking cup about her, and that's it. Like, there's no, like...
Yeah, I mean, even the villains and stuff, like Scarecrow in the movie, Cillian Murphy, like, he's a kind of like a psychotherapist, psychopharmacist guy.
Yeah.
And he puts his mask on, which looks like a Scarecrow mask, but it's actually a gas mask to protect him from the gas that he's unleashing on these people and shit. So it adds believability to it. It could be something that really happened, not just some, you know, Mr. Freeze bullshit.
Freeze, Batman. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I did say that you're definitely right about that. But I guess the other thing is, what were your thoughts about Christian Bale as Batman? Like,
here's always been my thoughts. I thought Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne's great.
Yeah.
I think that he does a great job. I think that they could have used just somebody else as Batman. I don't know how that would have worked, but I just don't like him as Batman. I mean, his voice is annoying as fuck. I've always thought that. Why does he talk that way? He don't talk that way when he's not Batman. Does the bat suit change his fucking voice or something?
He's trying to bring some sort of intensity to the role.
Yeah.
That's what you don't understand.
I did hear something funny that he couldn't talk right for like after that role for like a couple weeks or something.
I'd say not, considering everything. Jesus.
Hey, my name's Batman. Go to hell.
You know what, though, man? I really love Christian Bale as an actor anyway. I've loved him since American Psycho. I thought that was one of the most amazing portrayals of any kind of character I'd seen, and probably still is. And I think that you couldn't really pick anybody better to be Batman, because he's got the physicality, he's a great actor, yeah. He's great dialogue, he's the total package Lex Luthor.
You know somebody else, though, that I remember when this movie came out, I was like shocked that he was in the goddamn movies, Rutger Hauer.
Oh, yeah. The fuck. That is right. Yeah, I'd forgotten he was in the movie, too.
Yeah, he's like, you know, one of the executives, I guess, at Wayne Industries or whatever.
So how the fuck did Rutger Hauer go from even a bit part in this to being in the Hobo with a Shotgun?
Well, this movie is a lot older than you'd think, though. It was made like 7 years ago, I think. 6 or 7 years ago. So, but Batman Begins, man, I mean, honestly, it's just a great fucking movie, really. I mean, I remember when I watched it, because I'd bought it used. I think I bought the DVD used. And it was probably about a year after it came out or something like that, and I got it cheap. I was fucking shocked at how good it was.
Well, up to this point, they had never really done an origin story of Batman. Like, they always showed
it. In great detail.
Yeah, they always showed it in flashbacks where you would see something like in the first Batman, you'd just see the flashback of how his parents got killed. And then it never really even talked about how he, like, progressed to be the Batman character up until this movie, you know. Yeah. And that is probably where they went right, is they went back and tried to actually tell a story that worked. Like, a lot of times, if you go back and try to tell a story, it ends up being like fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel.
Yeah.
But they did get some decent actors in this one.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole plot, though, of the movie pretty much is a revenge story. I mean, it starts with Bruce Wayne going to the courtroom where he's interested in, you know, in seeing what happens to the guy, because he's going to get paroled, the guy that that murdered his parents as a kid. And it turns out, I think Tom Wilkinson's character is one of the mob bosses, I guess, in Gotham City, just wants the guy to get paroled so he can fucking murder him for whatever reason. So then, you know, Bruce Wayne is pissed off because he wanted to murder him. So he just goes on kind of like a, his own justice, his own brand of justice, Uncle Bill.
It's my justice. I'll have justice today.
He's the Dark Knight, if you will. I talk really gruff because I've got this costume on. Hey, you know something else is interesting?
I don't sound like a Batman Cartman.
I got this costume on.
It got. Yeah. Yeah, look at me. So.
Oh, shit.
Something, though, that we didn't really talk about is, especially with the Nolan movies, is he really did kind of go back to the Tim Burton look of the outfit. I mean, it kind of is exactly the same, which is interesting. I guess, I don't know what else you could do, really, with the costume.
I don't either. I mean, they tried to reinvent it so many different times. They just had to go back to the basics, I guess, because it looks fucking silly after a while. There's one, I think it was Batman and Robin, where they added nipples to the costume, like human nipples. And people were like, what? But, yeah, it's pretty bad. And here's something I was going to ask you before we go on to the next movie, which is an amazing movie. Which one was it that had the soundtrack song was that fucking Seal song? Kiss from a Rose.
I think it was Batman and Robin.
Are you sure?
What? It was.
It was one of those Schumacher.
Either
movies.
One of those. Yeah. I have no idea.
I think it was Batman Forever, but I just remember, like, I want to kill whoever. I think.
You don't like that song?
No. I fucking hate that song. And that song comes on, like, all the time still.
That got Phil out of pussy.
Hey, boss. Get you a pussy over that thong.
Look at this pussy I got from my thong here. So.
Seal.
Yeah, Batman Begins did really fucking well at the box office. I know it, a lot of people were talking about it for a while, and, you know, of course it would be inevitable they would do a sequel to this. So, you know, and I think a lot of people were excited about the sequel, but nobody realized how big this goddamn movie was going to get, and I think part of the reason, honestly, it got such a, you know, I know it's sad to say this, but it's true. All the shit that happened with Heath Ledger passing away about 6 months or so before the movie came out. He'd already filmed The Joker, and there was already people saying, wow, this is going to be Oscar nomination and all this stuff, you know, for Joker because he just does such a great job on this. And you heard so much about, you know, his role as the Joker, and then he passes away, and then there's the legend about, oh, this movie just took too much out of him, you know. It was like he got too involved in the role. So people were like, holy shit, we've got to fucking see this. And the thing I remember when I saw The Dark Knight, and I actually didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on Blu-ray. Is I don't see Heath Ledger. I just see the a character that he made, man. I mean, you don't see him at all in this movie. I mean, I think it's definitely the best movie, his best performance that he ever did.
Oh, yeah, by a fucking mile, yeah.
And because when you see a guy that's kind of really well-known already, because he already had, you know, the Broke Dick Mountain and all that shit come out, it was real popular, and you don't even see that guy as the character, like, that's when you know somebody did a fucking amazing job in the movie.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I didn't see it in theater either, but there's so much hype about it that going into it, you almost feel like there's no way in hell that the movie can actually live up to all the hype. But it does. Like, his performance actually does. There's no way. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you hear about his performance in this movie. There's no way to really, like, do it justice except to watch it. Like, you can't explain to somebody how good it is. It's just, there's so many little nuances about it where he genuinely becomes that, like he becomes disturbed and like twitchy and all the little,
yeah. And they did some cool like designs with his henchmen and stuff too. They have on like the little clown masks and stuff that's really fucking creepy, like the little, you know, just pull over latex mask that is that all of his guys wear in the bank robberies and all that stuff in the movie.
Yeah.
The movie really top to bottom, I mean, it's action throughout the entire fucking movie.
I thought it was really well created, too, because it's a long movie. It's over 2 hours, and it weaves in and out of, like, all these different storylines that are really, really cool, too, that center around, well, mostly center around the whole Joker character and everything. And he's essentially a bank robber and more like, at the beginning of the movie, more dead set on just causing chaos and anarchy and all this stuff, and funding all these little terrorist plots that he attempts to do all the way through Gotham City.
Yeah. And, well, the thing that The Dark Knight had too that Batman Begins really didn't have is just, okay, when you have these superhero movies, what makes them work the best, in my opinion, makes some of the better movies. And that's why movies like The Hulk and all that shit kind of suck. You don't have a definitive fucking bad guy against the good guy. That's the thing that you've got to have. And that's why I think like movies like the new Spider-Man movie, man, has the fucking CGI lizard. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I'm not interested in seeing Spider-Man fight a goddamn lizard. I'm just not. Okay? And that's why I don't think that the Raimi's, I mean, they waited too goddamn long to see, you know, your definitive bad guy in the Raimi movies. Like, people wanted to see they wanted to see either the Sandman or Venom. And they put them both in there right at the end of the fucking, you know, and you've got to do that. And I think that they did, like, they, you know, they had to do the Joker, and I guess they can only do it once because, of course, Heath Ledger passed away. But, I mean, that's why I think Batman, of all the movie tie-in comic books and stuff like that, they have the best villains because there's so much you can do with Batman.
Well, there's a lot of really well-known villains, too, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, you know? It's not like any of the others, really. I mean, there's only one or two main villains in any other comic book you can think of.
And that's why you don't need fucking, and Nolan hasn't done it, you know, thankfully, 4 or 5 goddamn fucking villains in one movie. You just don't need it. Now, I think Catwoman is in the new one. Anne Hathaway's Bucktooth ass.
Yeah. Bucktooth Hannah.
But Catwoman's really not... Bucktooth Hannah.
Nobody else will get that all, but it's killing. Catwoman's really not, I mean, just one set villain. She's kind of like, you know, eye candy villain that's not really a threat or anything.
Yeah. And now, in this movie, there's actually another villain, too. A lot of people don't even remember this, but it's kind of only happens towards the end is Two-Face is in Batman.
Yeah.
Or the Dark Knight Rises.
They're trying to kind of set it up for, you'd think, be the next movie, but I guess they...
They said, fuck you, get out of here. I actually thought that he did a 10 times better job than Tommy Lee Jones. And also the makeup and everything, the way it's done, looks like 1,000 times better than the way they did it in the Schumacher one. But you know, like, and this is the thing I really found interesting about this movie. You know, in the beginning of this movie, that Harvey Dent, Two-Face, in this movie, is fucking doomed. Like Aaron Eckhart, the guy that plays him, you know he's doomed to become Two-Face at some point in the movie. So you're just kind of watching this gradual progression of him kind of, he's like a super conservative, great guy who has everything in the world going for him, then everything's taken away from him immediately and how he becomes like the way that he is, you know.
You want to know something else, though, that we forgot that we didn't mention that I got to say is I really think one of the best casting choices of all these Christopher Nolan movies is Michael Caine.
Michael Caine?
Yeah, because he's just, I mean, he's Alfred. I mean, he looks, talks like him. I think that was a perfect choice, and it's very, like, I don't know, he's very British, so it works.
He is British. But Gary Oldman is Commissioner Gordon in this. And he plays a big role in it, in just the fact that he is kind of one of the targets of the Joker throughout the whole film and kind of what ultimately leads Batman to go on. Because, see, the thing about this movie that's completely different from the Joker of the original Batman or any of the Batmans really is you can, in this movie, he's spitting out all kinds of, like, social commentary and all these anarchist kind of things that he's saying, which is not in any of the other Batman things. Like,
he's spitting out semen.
He's spitting out. But you can kind of, when you watch his performance, you really think, in the movie anyway, you think, now here's somebody that you really don't know what he's going to do next. And throughout the movie, that's what I kept thinking is you keep thinking, you know, one of the main, he could really like kill one of the main characters in the movie because that's what they're leading up to and everything, and it's, you would totally believe it that anything, he would do anything, and he has no fear of dying because he really doesn't give a fuck one way or the other. He's almost like already dead.
Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal actually replaced Tom, what was that girl's name? I can't even remember.
Who?
It was play that Tom Cruise married.
Oh,
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes, yeah.
Yeah, because Katie Holmes is too busy fucking Tom Cruise this time and, like, worshiping Scientology lords.
I'm just really glad that Katie Holmes got her ass away from Tom Cruise. That guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I was actually watching, like, the other day, the Batman Begins, and Katie Holmes looks like a completely different person in that movie because I think that was right before she got with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Now she looks like it looks like her skin's turned like a shade of like a light yellow. Green or yellow. Yeah.
It looks like, I don't know if he was feeding her like baby food or something. That was the only thing he let her eat or, I don't know, but she.
I'm Tom Cruise, I'm crazy and shit.
Hey, eat this fucking root.
I'm gonna make you name her kid Salad or whatever the fuck her name is.
Toss Salad. That's her kid's name. First name Tossed. Last name Salad.
Wasn't it something like Sirtis or Sirlis or something like that?
I don't know.
Some sort of weird ass fucking
name.
Yeah,
it was.
So anyway, the Dark Knight, I mean, something else too is definitive. Like, you can get this Blu-ray for like fucking $10 now. And it's like the definitive Blu-ray too, as far as like picture quality and sound. And, they shot some of this movie too in 70 millimeter for IMAX. And this looks freaking unreal in high def too. Like, I don't know. Do you have the Blu-ray of this?
Yeah. Everybody has the Blu-ray of it.
Yeah, it's definitely the one that you want to. Like, if you're getting a Blu-ray player, this would be one movie that definitely showcases the, you know, exactly what Blu-ray can do. If anybody wants to say, oh, man, I can't tell the fucking difference between DVD and Blu-ray, pop in an action scene from this movie and they'll shut the fuck up real quick.
Shut your damn shitty mouth.
So, the movie, when it came out, I mean, it was, like, instant, like, everybody was like, holy shit, this movie, you know, this movie's fucking killer. And it actually made its first goddamn day $2.3 million in Australia.
Just in Australia?
Just in Australia.
Australia.
And, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, how much money did it say it made on here?
It made a metric fuck ton of money.
I think it did.
It made $80 billion.
I can't really see
it. Canada.
It made $870 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's weird. I can't even see the, do you see it?
No, I guess you have to keep going down. It's not really in there anymore. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
It made...
God damn.
$1 billion worldwide.
$1,921,825.
North America alone.
North America was,
it made $533 million.
God damn.
That's a lot of money.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it, and not, that's not even taking into account how much the Blu-rays and stuff made and all that shit when it came out. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, honestly, and people are probably going to fucking shit themselves when they hear this, but I can't help it. I know it's a popular movie and a popular probably thing to say with the, like, the teen hipster crowd. I do believe that that's my favorite Batman movie. Like, I hate to say that, but I just think it is.
I'd actually like to watch it again. I've only seen it, like, maybe twice. So...
Yeah, I don't envision another Batman movie having that good of a performance, a story, cast. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, and it's a shame what happened to Heath Ledger, too, because, like, I mean, people will be talking about that performance, whether or not he died or not. I mean,
yeah.
That he wasn't around to actually get all the accolades and stuff from everybody, because it is one of those roles that you just don't see that often to where the guy just got completely into that character, and you didn't see any, like, remains of Heath Ledger, really, on camera.
Right.
It was pretty...
I always find that odd, though, man. Like, being an actor and everything, how do you... Like, people talk about that all the time. Like, he disappeared so far into the character that he just never came back, or he got too involved in the character. Like, how do you fucking do that? Like,
I don't know.
How do you go into a character and then just be like, oh God, I'm fucking really crazy. Like, I can't.
Well, I think
he's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, probably different methods of, like, the method, I guess, acting, where you're creating an entire backstory that's not even used in the movie.
I would think, though, that's why it's called acting, because you don't really become fucking crazy. You act like you're crazy.
Yeah.
You don't have to become a fucking maniac. Like, you're not a very good actor if you just, all you do is just literally drive yourself insane.
Yeah, but I guess when you're even acting in front of the camera, you've got to have, like, just come up with a complete backstory of this guy, what makes him this way, you know, what's he thinking, what's he want, you know, what's he planning on getting out of this, stuff like that. He won't forget him from Puffy.
That's what everybody wants, Puffy. So,
yeah, The Dark Knight Rises is the new one. It's hard to believe it's been 4 years since the original Dark Knight came out. So, that's hard to believe, really. It's been that long. But, it's coming out. It's actually,
it'll be out by the time this show airs.
It'll be interesting to see what the crowd is like. I'm sure, you know, we were talking about going to see it Friday. I don't know, man.
I think the
line around the fucking building may deter you a little bit.
Not really, if we can just walk in.
Can we just walk in?
Yeah.
We'll get in front of everybody and be like, hi, here we go.
Fuck you. Oh, but this, in the new film, I'm sure everybody knows, like, the big deal is Bane. And if this is the end of the trilogy of Christopher Nolan films, the speculation is, like in the comic books that were popular around our time when we were growing up, is that Bane in the biggest story, whatever, actually,
he's on Batman.
Yeah, he pisses on Batman.
That's what happened in the comic book.
Yeah. Well, he does, I'll put it to you this way. He doesn't kill Batman, like, not like Superman, Doomsday and all that shit. But he does some interesting things, I'll just say that, to Batman. the comic books. I'm not saying in the movie. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
Well, we saw they had it on funnierdie.com.
Yeah, they got the real trailer.
Dude, we should talk about that because that is so fucking well done, dude. Like, I don't know how the fuck they did that. But, like, when I saw it, I almost thought, I was like, what in the fuck is this shit? And then I go and look and I see that The Dark Knight Rises is PG-13, so there's no fucking way. Then I'm like, wow, somebody went to that great of detail to not only film it and have the fucking costumes and shit that look exactly like the one, at least Bane's costume. You don't really get to see Batman that much.
Yeah.
And then project it somewhere and have some motherfucker like he's fucking sneaking it in a fucking theater.
Yeah.
And then have people from a crowd make noise.
Right.
Like it. And then you hear, I died laughing when I watched it again. And this guy after the credits was like, oh my God. So fucking awesome. It's one of the, if you guys haven't seen it, it's not really the spoiler for the movie, but it's one of the funniest fucking things that I've ever seen. Like, whoever come up with that should be on a fucking, that should be on the DVD as an extra.
Yeah.
Like, that's just so damn awesome.
I know.
So,
I wish I could talk about how killer it is, but you can't.
Just go watch it. I don't want to give it all away, but man, it's just great. I thought it was awesome.
But anyway, we skipped over a couple things, like the Batman animated series and all that shit.
Fuck that shit.
But I think that we covered pretty much everything related to
I hope so. I mean,
films. Jesus.
You know, this is not our specialty. I think these are movies that, you know, we're more like casual fans of these type of movies. So I hope you guys enjoyed the Batman retrospective. If not, hey, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Go, go, go fuck yourself tonight.
So, we're going to be back. When we come back, we'll have some announcements to make. And we're going to review on Blu-ray Death, baby. Woo!
43 forever, daddy.
Here on
DeadPit.com.
The Gamecock Bonanza with prizes worth thousands of dollars. You can register at the new Gamecock 1 and 2 theaters and all participating dealers. The grand prizes are a 1972 Toyota Corolla automobile from the Toyota Center and a 14-foot Glassmaster boat motor and trailer from the West Columbia Sports Shop.
At Toyota Center USA, there's no generation gap. Toyota bridges the generation gap with a four-door sedan standard equipped with full reclining bucket seats, tinted glass, rear windows, defroster, wheel disc, white walls, nylon carpet, and floor shift with console, just to name a few. Toyota also offers automatic transmission and air conditioning. Switch today to Toyota Center USA, located at the Hub of Growth, 1640 Airport Road, just past Kmart, towards the Columbia Metropolitan Airport. Toyota Center USA.
This is John Saxon speaking about DeadPit.com.
Welcome back, folks.
Hi.
How's everybody doing, motherfuckers?
I'm doing great. You know what I was thinking, though? It's about time for you to make some special Uber announcements.
It is, because we've got a lot of stuff going on, Uncle Bill. That's the thing. We're always keeping a lot of stuff on the Dead Pit plate. As far as extracurricular activities.
Yeah, we're burning our candle at both ends. The only way to get it hard is to jack it off again.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. some of the stuff, though, that we've got up right now is Dead Pit Auction. We haven't done one of these in I don't know how damn long. This is an eBay auction. This isn't one of our blog TV auctions.
Which we do need to do that again sometime soon,
yeah.
Too.
But, we're going to be, we actually have up right now on eBay, you can search for Dead Pit and you'll find the green Dead Pit shirt, which is probably the most sought after shirt of them all, Uncle Bill. It's a variant of our black shirt, but it's green.
Right. It's the Fright Night Part 2 of horror t-shirts.
Yeah, it's actually, originally introduced 5 years ago and they haven't been available for 5 years, but now there's one on eBay, so you can go bid on it. Also, we're throwing in our Rue Morgue issue from 2007 that featured an article on Dead Pit Radio.
That's which, probably what's making it go up so damn high.
It is.
Is that's out of print or something?
And we're going to put up some signed show scripts as well in that auction, so it's like a whole cavalcade of Dead Pit goodness.
Woo!
And also, we need to make an announcement because that's the only way we'll ever fucking do any of this shit. In 2 weeks, I think it'll end up being, let's see, what's the date? It'll be a week from Saturday. We're going to be debuting a brand new live show, Uncle Bill, on Blog TV Saturday night. It's in the place of Saturday Nightmares, Uncle Bill. Saturday Nightmares is no more. That's the end of Saturday Nightmares.
You've killed it.
I've killed it. It's going to be a show of a completely different color. And we're not being racist. We're just going to, that's kind of like the slogan. It's the show of a completely different color.
So you must be talking about Dead Pit After Dark.
It's Dead Pit After Dark.
Oh, God.
That's right. Are you getting excited?
Would you like to explain what that is again to the people that may not know?
Yeah, nobody really knows because we're just still kind of figuring out exactly what it's going to be. It's basically, like, we can talk about horror stuff. We can talk about movies and all this stuff. Basically, it's going to be one of those deals where we're talking about what's happening now. If something funny happens, you know, in pop culture, we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be making fun of people like crazy. It's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of the old bitch pit stuff like we were doing before. And it's just going to be live, and people, I think, we may do some call-in segments and stuff, too, if people want to call in and be a part of the show. It's going to be one of those deals. Very laid-back, not really segment-oriented or anything. But it's a live show, completely live, so anything can happen on it.
Hell yeah. So, like you said, though, it's not really going to be a horror show. It's just
about
every
damn
thing. About, yeah, a general topic show.
Yeah, like we can talk about Fred Willard recently sticking his dong out in front of everybody.
I'm in a movie theater. I'm going to whip my dick out.
You know, and it's going to be something that I thought would be fucking just fun to do. Because we get people that, you know, on Saturday nights that, you know, like Tiffany Shep has fucking just came in the chat room the other night and bullshitted.
Wouldn't it be interesting to have her in on something like that? That's what I'm thinking. We should try to get some sort of like special guests that come in just randomly to talk about,
talk about
the
topic
stuff.
Of the week or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes, though. But on the 28th, it starts at midnight, same time, like Saturday Nightmares. But it's Dead Pit After Dark. And you can go to Blog TV and just search for Dead Pit, and you'll find the page on there.
So, that's one of the big announcements.
Another big announcement. The screening.
Right.
August.
That's the one that you should be buying your tickets for online right now.
You can buy the tickets right now on deadpit.com. If you can't even make it, hey, just if you want to send a donation or something, order fucking 10 tickets and be like, hey, you keep the fucking money. You sell some more tickets. I'm just a donation because this is one of those deals where honestly, like we're probably not going to make anything off of this still. I mean, we're putting all of our money, the promotion and stuff, the print itself. At most, we'll be making like $100 or something off of this. So if you want to donate to the, you know, and help us out, be one of our sponsors. You can do that too. Give us money.
Donate, you bitches.
Give us some money.
Gaw.
August the 3rd, Prestonsburg, Strand Twin, the legendary Strand Twin, the movie that me and Uncle Bill both grew up watching horror movies on. We did the first screening last year in October. It was sold out. We're hoping that this one will be sold out. And it's not even, you know, Halloween season. I'm thinking it'll still be sold out.
Yeah, I do too. So we're hoping that it will be, and it's up to you all to make that happen. Yeah,
Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. The Dream Master, Uncle Bill, Tuesday night.
And Thursday morning.
So I think that's all the announcements to make. That's been enough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's plenty. So let's get on with the Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray review.
Of 42nd Three Forever, the Blu-ray edition.
They couldn't even come up with a better name than that. Blu-ray. It's just the Blu-ray edition. I don't know how much you can actually review this because it's basically, it's like 4 hours worth of trailers is what this is. And I was amazed at how damn long it was because the DVD versions were nowhere near as long as this, as I remember.
Yeah. Well, right off the bat, here's the thing about these movies. You got one of two choices, really. You can watch it just to have something going on in the background, like the trailers and everything, which to me is kind of boring because I don't know, man. There's something about watching like a shit ton of trailers. I don't really...
Make you kind of want to fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't really have a hard-on for that idea or anything.
Steve likes it, though.
Well, it's Steve's big thing. Yeah, but Steve likes a lot of really weird shit, too.
That's true. Nuns with guns.
Fucking Japanese rape comedies and stuff.
Yeah. You're weird, Steve.
But the real way to watch these movies, in my opinion, the only way that makes any sense is you watch it with the commentary on, and they always have these film nerds and AV guys that tell you about different little fun trivia facts about each one of the different films as the trailers go on. So that's how I watched it anyway.
Yeah, that's how I always watch these, and I think that it's really, that it adds something to these, because I think the first couple they didn't do like that. They just had, and they added these guys, you had Ed Samuelson, Michael Gangold, and Chris Pagliali, or whatever.
Pagliali, buddy.
These guys know a fuckload about all these movies on here, and a lot of them are just stuff that I've never even fucking heard of. Like, I can read you some of the names of them. Delinquent Schoolgirls, you've got The Curious Female, you've got Helga. You've got I Dismember Mama, which I've heard of that. Invitation.
Oh, hey, I Dismember Mama.
Yeah. Just stuff, you know, Street Girl, Sugar Hill, Super Fuzz, Taboo's the World, The Tale of the Deans, just, you know, Blaxploitation. You've got, like, teen comedies. You've got sexploitation movies. You've got horror movies. All this stuff is included in these trailers. It's, I mean, you know, for the price, you can get this online for, what, about $15 or $16. It's, you know, 4 hours worth of stuff like this. So if you're into this sort of thing, I mean, it's definitely a must-buy. And this is the very first one they've released on Blu-ray.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did you notice anything about the Blu-ray that was outstanding?
I think the thing about the Blu-ray is they can just fit more trailers on it.
Seems to be, yeah.
I mean, it is in high def, but it's like, you know, I mean, a lot of them... Like, stuff like this you don't really watch for the video quality anyway. No. So,
I actually love the idea of the way they do it with the commentaries over top of them because you start to learn things about movies and actors and stuff that you would never have any idea about before. But this one was not like my favorite one or anything. There's been others that I thought that the group commentary was better on, mostly because Ed Samuelson doesn't really say a whole lot of anything in this. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I think they probably asked too much of those guys. I mean, sitting there for 4 hours and trying to be entertaining with each of these trailers, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I don't give a fuck, you know, what you're watching. You know, if I was watching 4 hours worth of the best damn movie ever, there's no way I could be entertaining for 4 hours.
Right. But, I mean, if blaxploitation, exploitation, horsexploitation, all that stuff is your cup of tea, you definitely
have horsexploitation, that's what I like.
Yeah, nunsploitation. There's actual nunsploitation in this.
Yeah. Yeah, they've actually got, like, porn titles in this, too. Flesh Gordon being one of them.
Which was probably one of the more well-known of the bigger-budget porns. Yeah. It was, like, mimicking movies.
Yeah, I mean, as far as stuff that we know on here, there's not a whole lot of stuff, to be honest. I mean, they have Miss 45. We mentioned I Dismember Mama. They had Dr. Butcher MD, which I think they already had on a regular DVD too. So some of these they've already kind of recycled a little bit. Chained Heat, Werewolves on Wheels, which is a piece of shit, by the way. We reviewed that a long time ago on the show. They Call Her One Eye, which hopefully they'll be coming out with a Blu-ray of that at some point. That'd be really cool.
I'd say they'd be working on that. That's one of their more popular releases, I think.
Yeah. So, as far as extra features, aside from the commentary, I mean, there's really not much else, to be honest.
Why would you want any, what special features would you have on there?
I think it'd be, like, maybe a documentary on the history of 42nd Street or something like that.
Well, get Grindhouse. They could get 42nd Street Pete on there.
They could. Because he's 42nd Street Pete. He knows a lot about 42nd Street. Because he's 42nd Street Pete.
He grew up on 42nd Street.
Yeah. He likes hanging out with the other kids that... grew up on 42nd Street to talk about all the great films that came out on 42nd Street. Fucker.
So. Fucking guy. So 42nd Street Forever. Wasn't there 42nd Street The Deuce.
The Deuce, and they had the Alamo Draft House Edition.
That was my favorite, actually.
They actually had the porn one, too, which I don't think we ever got that. That'd be awesome if those guys did the commentary on the porn one.
Look at that big, brainy dick.
Look at that painter going in that asshole.
That's amazing. What can you say about it, man? You really can't review something like this. You know what it is, got getting into it. Like,
well,
it's not,
I mean, you know, the 42nd Street Forever series is nothing new. I mean, you should know what it is. Synapse Films, man, they do some of the best work of any of the genre studios, probably the best. Don May, like, you know, I don't like everything that they come out with, but if it's a Synapse film, he puts his best in every damn release. I think he's one of the hardest working guys in the whole industry when it comes to that, as far as making sure, you know, that the films look the best possible, that, you know, the artwork and everything just looks great. You know, he's the best around. Nobody's going to keep him down.
That's what I was thinking. He really is, though. And as always, Synapse goes balls deep with this release. So,
right.
Way to go, Synapse Films. Once again, you go balls deep.
That's right. So I'm sure 42nd Street people like that, too. But that is it for the show this week. Creepy Kentucky in here.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And we'll be back next week. Who the fuck knows what we'll do next week? We might do a retrospective on the films of fucking Howard Stern.
Yeah.
He only did one.
That'd Private Parts, the retrospective.
Easy.
Yeah. We don't know what we're doing. We might have an interview. We probably won't. Probably won't happen.
We should just start getting like interviews with the independent people. That way we'll piss all kinds of people off.
I don't want to do that either, really.
Hey, let's talk about this fucking slasher movie you got coming out. Hey, let's talk about this zombie movie that's in the farmhouse. Hey, let's talk about all your friends and shit that's in this movie. Hey, fuck you.
That would be how that would go, really, yeah.
So, basically, we'll do what we're going to do, and y'all going to listen to it either way.
So, fuck you all.
Here on DeadBeard.com.